The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle, The Way It Ought to Be. Just in case you missed these scriptures and would like to read and study them for yourself, and you should do just that, we were quoting from 2 Chronicles 15, verses 1 through 15, where God said, He was with those who were with Him, meaning those that were willing, struggling, and surviving to obey, as the Bible plainly says, we must do, if we want God on our side, that is. This same chapter, 2 Chronicles 15, tells us that the nation of Judah, along with others from three tribes of the nation of Israel, saw that God was with King Asa, Judah and Benjamin, and they joined Asa in his spiritual revival of turning and rendering their heart to seek God with all their heart, and they found Him, and God gave them rest on every side, meaning peace, well-being, contentment, happiness, prosperity, and so on. This account of ancient Judah is only one of many where God intervened for a nation when they sought God with all their heart. God did the same for the whole nation of Israel as well during the reign of King Saul, at least what little time Saul was humble in the sight of God. And during the 40-year reign of King David and King Solomon, David's son. Yes, God promises to be with anyone or any nation that will be with Him, that is, that will be obedient to His word and His law. Israel and Judah split shortly after the death of Solomon. They became two nations, and the 10 tribes called the house of Israel never did trust in God any way as they should, and they had many troubles because they forsook God. And they went into captivity beginning in 732 through 718 B.C. And Judah did, from time to time, have a righteous king to reign over them, and that prolonged their nation's reign for 130 years longer than the house of Israel. But finally, that nation became so corrupt and wicked and turned their back on God, they also, 130 years later, were taken captive. And all these evils fell on both nations because they no longer wanted to be with God. Yes, you would think we would learn from the history of our ancestors, ancient Israel. Do we think that we will continue to have and enjoy the good life God has given us here in America because of the covenant that He made with Abraham, while all the time we're turning our back farther and farther from God as a nation and as an individual? Well, I hope we aren't that naive. I can tell you, my friends, God is turning away from this nation because we aren't with God in any way as we once were. If our founding fathers could be resurrected and come back and see the state of this nation, the moral and the spiritual state and all the confusion that's here, they would be dumbfounded. And we are in serious trouble. And there is much more serious trouble on the horizon unless we as a nation turn to our God, repent and cry out for His mercy, and quit ignoring God's law and His word. You can prepare and avoid many problems if you will. Well, where do you stand? Are you with God? That is, are you willing to obey? Or are you against God by not being willing to obey Him? God warns us over and over. What will befall our people in this end time unless we repent of our many sins, which God says are multiplying, and sin is the breaking of God's law. And we have ministers teaching that God's law was nailed to the cross, no longer exists. Not so. Not so at all, my friends. God says our problems have come upon us and will grow worse because of our many sins. The fourth commandment is still in existence as well as the other nine. Yes, the Sabbath is still valid and should be kept holy because it is holy. It's God's day, God's holy time. And that seems to be the one of our biggest hang-ups today. We call the first day of the week holy. Seems like man tries to make a day holy that God didn't make holy. And we can't do that. Man can't make anything holy, not even the first day of the week, Sunday. Man ignores the other nine commandments much of the time as well. Notice what God has to say about the nations of Israel. God points out many of our sins, Notice in Jeremiah 3, beginning in verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. Now God is speaking to the house of Israel, not just the nation of Judah, the house of Israel. Judah was never called the house of Israel. Only the 10 tribes that split off from Rehoboam after Solomon had died, and they became the 10 northern tribes called the house of Israel. And this was penned here in Jeremiah 3. This was penned at least 130 years later after Israel had gone into captivity in 721-718 BC. Notice what it says, verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. Speaking of end time Israel, the United States and the British people, you couldn't get any farther from God than that. As a wife treacherously departs from her husband, that's as far as you can get from God. And God says that's exactly what we have done, just as a harlotry wife departs from her husband. Verse 21, a voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. God says we have perverted our way by turning our back on Him, and we have forgotten our God. Verse 22, return, you backsliding children, talking to Israel again, and I will heal your backsliding. God is asking us and pleading with us to turn and to repent. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Indeed, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Now, we're going to come to God, and hopefully we will do that before things gets any worse as a nation. But according to the Bible, we won't. According to the Bible, we will only learn our lesson after we go through the Great Tribulation, the most terrible time that has ever or that will ever come up on this earth. Then says, indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. We're finally going to learn our lesson. But you can learn your lesson today, my friend, if you will, individually, whether our nation does or not. You can prepare for the hard time that's coming from the tougher times that's coming and be spared. Verse 23, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. In other words, God says, don't hope for nations, speaking of nations, little nations and big nations here, to bail you out, Israel. When your troubles get so severe that you can't handle them, don't expect them to bail you out, because God says your lovers will forsake you. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel, so says God. Yes, only God is going to save us. For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, or we wallow in our sins, it could read, and our reproach covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. God is continually telling us why that all of these many troubles have come up on us, and God tells us that they are going to overtake us, and they have just about done that now, my friends. Notice Jeremiah continues here in Jeremiah 4, beginning in verse 1. God again is pleading with Israel to turn. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. Yes, God says, if we return and rend our heart to God and not our garments, God says we will not be taken captive. Otherwise, if we don't, God makes it very plain in His Word that Israel, the United States, and the British people will wind up in captivity, and they will be there when Christ returns. That is what few survives that terrible time. Verse 2, and you shall swear, the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nation shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him they shall glory. Jeremiah continues here in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek in her open places if you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment. Who seeks the truth and will pardon her? And I will pardon her, so says God. Well, my friends, is God telling us that it's going to get that bad in our nation today that you could run wherever you want to go and you wouldn't find anyone that seeks truth and justice. You know, that's the way it was before the flood, except for one man, Noah. And God says, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of Christ. Verse 2, though they say, as the Lord live, surely they swear falsely. In other words, claiming to be a religious or a Christian nation. Do we do that today? We need to ask ourselves some of these questions and give self an honest answer. Verse 3, O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. Yes, God says, I have allowed or maybe have even brought problems on them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. Yes, God has always called Israel a stiff-necked, a stubborn, and a rebellious nation. He said that about ancient Israel, and we're still that way today when it comes to changing our ways and getting our heart right with God. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Does that sound like the nation that you live in today, my friends? Do we have any of this taking place in our nation? And are things like this getting worse? They were like well-fed, lusty stallions, everyone gnawing after his neighbor's wife. Yes, a lot of adultery going on in our nation today, a lot of fornication, a lot of live-ins and so on. Verse 9, shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord, and shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Yes, God is going to punish us for our sins. Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. In other words, God says he's going to punish Israel and the world, but he isn't going to make a complete end of us. There will be a remnant left that will come out of captivity and live over into the millennium. Well, my friends, I see my time is about up here. We'll pick this up in our next program. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more and make your own study about these topics that we're speaking of these days, request our free booklet, Nations in Decline and the Two Houses of Israel. And all you need to do to receive those booklets, just call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and request Nations in Decline and the Two Houses of Israel. Thanks for joining us today.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.